At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it is June 21st, 2024. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. Podcast, SmackDown Edition. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Flobo Boyce. And tonight, the Bloodline has finally added a new member, Jacob Fatu, keeping his name, making his debut in the end segment there. Looking vicious. I've seen this dude wrestle on the indies. He is amazing. I don't know about you, Flobo, but we have been very critical of the baby Bloodline, the next generation. And tonight I was like, oh man, this is wearing thin.
Right.
Jacob, I think, is going to be the tipping point in getting the Bloodline back on track, especially given that Solo Sikoa is saying Roman ain't coming back.
Yeah, that was to me the bigger bombshell. I know it sounds like I'm being like trendy for trendy's sake. And yes, Jacob Fatu being on SmackDown, woohoo, we'll talk about it in detail. But that idea of Roman's not coming back.
He's coming back.
Well, what does it mean? Does it mean that he's out of the Bloodline? Does it mean, like, is it open the door for the Bloodline split faction civil war? Like, I thought that was kind of interesting today.
If we are indeed getting Cody versus Solo Sikoa at SummerSlam.
No, we got tonight. Match is over.
Yes. Well, let's hope we never see it again. No, if that's happening at SummerSlam, the only way that match makes sense is if Roman shows up at the end.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Roman will show up again. There's so much money to table for that too. But I always wonder what does that mean? Because to me, it looked like leading up to WrestleMania that Solo is going to be the heir to the Bloodline. But now it seems almost like a succession thing where Solo took the role and Roman maybe wanted to get it back.
Which is weird too, because you know what? If they'd kept Jimmy in the fold and it was Jimmy inheriting the Bloodline and trying to make a go of it, that would have been really interesting.
Yeah, but he's weak.
What's Jimmy up to right now?
I don't know. Probably okay. Playing games with Logan Paul, Tetris.
Okay.
I have no idea.
There you go. Well, before we get into SmackDown, and we're going to cover it all, talk about the things we like, things we didn't like. CM Punk showed up. Drew McIntyre showed up. The Wyatt Six hijacked the show to show their own recap of what happened Monday.
Of course.
So there was like extra them. Security. There was extra
Classic
security.
Classic Six.
Yeah, they acknowledged it tonight. At least they were like, we have extra security in case the Wyatt Six shows up.
Yeah, but that, okay, whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. But what's going on in the news?
Well, I'm going to go out of order now because we had the appearance of Jacob Fatu. One of the things that we thought was interesting, according to the desk over at Wrestling Inc., was the trademark of Cesar Sikoa. This one was filed by WWE this week for all intents and purposes, a fictional character inside the universe of wrestling. We thought it was going to be Jacob Fatu or probably something else, but Cesar Sikoa has been trademarked by the E.
Who knows? But they have a lot of trademarks they never use.
Oh, yeah. I've been wrong before. I remember when they trademarked Jada Parker. I thought that would be Jade Cargill's name when she got here, but it wasn't the case.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that is an interesting development. Do you think Rikishi hyped up Jacob Fatu's debut so much that when he hyped it up for tonight, no one believed him?
Jacob Fatu is going to be a hard sell, right? Because enthusiasts, I won't say hardcore fans, enthusiasts have heard about Jacob Fatu for months. Signing sure. For months or whatever, but I don't think mom and pop who are watching on Fox know who he is. So like, it's almost too much hype, but also at the same time, not enough hype. So it won't be his debut. Yeah. It'll be his next week. And I don't think Rikishi did too much of a disservice.
See, I didn't believe he was showing up tonight when Rikishi was hyping it again. I was like, Rikishi's been telling everyone he's debuting momentarily since Mania. So I didn't believe he was really showing up tonight.
I did when the match was made at the top of the show. We'll get to it. When it was made a one-on-one match. Because it looked like it was going to be a tag team match. Player, player, player. Holla, holla, holla. And when it's one-on-one, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be just shenanigans. Either Roman's showing up or Jacob Fatu showing up.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about what else is going on in the news.
Well, there's a huge deal when it comes down to the business side of WWE. It looks like the great. State of Indiana wants in some of the action, with rumors are swirling with them signing a deal to get some of the big PLEs on the soil. We're talking SummerSlam, talking the Royal Rumble, talking the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. You heard about Saudi Arabia, possibly the UK sometime in the future, but Indiana's getting to the game?
That seems peculiar.
To whom? You?
Just in the grand scheme of things.
What is the grand scheme of things? Money, money. Yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Money, money.
I mean, Indiana, you know, basketball has definitely sparked interest in Indiana.
Sure.
Right now for the WNBA and Caitlin Clark. But,
oh, yeah. That team. Oh, man. I felt sorry for that girl. That team was awful last season. They were terrible.
How did that work in the draft? I've been wondering this. Did the worst teams get the first draft picks?
It's like the NBA draft lottery where you get a weighted amount. Okay. Of the randomizer based on your record. So it helps if you suck.
Okay, that makes sense.
The Fever last season were terrible, and poor Caitlin Clark just have a team with no offensive spine.
Yeah, they're not going to the playoffs. Aces might not even be in the playoffs this year. Aces are like in fifth place.
Don't get me started, because the Liberty gets my hopes up every season, and every August it's just...
But Connecticut's crushing it this year.
I don't like them. That doesn't sound like count. It's not a great state. It's a third state in the tri-state area, is what I'm saying.
I feel you. So yeah, Indiana, who would have thunk that that would become a major sports destination?
I did. And I don't want to sound like I'm like super smart, cause I'm not, but I'm an old man. And when I'm in the car, I have the satellite radio and I'm listening to MLB radio, because that's what I do. That's my shoot job, right? I cover baseball. But I realized Indiana has been pouring so much money into the invest in Indiana. We have the best organizations and the best tax-friendly business things. It felt like over the past year, they've flooded radio with how cool their business and e-commerce is. So I get them getting a big sport. The question is for me, if you're WWE, why? Why would you go to Indiana? It feels like the Midwest is pretty much your territory to begin with. Why aren't you in India? Why aren't you in Pakistan? Why aren't you in New Zealand? But hey, money talks, right?
I mean, if you look at a map, which I am right now, Indiana
breaking news,
Glenn's looking at a map, is curiously located on the map. Curious. It is right below Michigan, next to Illinois. Like, so it's like, why wouldn't you go to Chicago? Even go, like, Michigan's kind of out of the way, and they go to Detroit on the reg. Like, I'm not dissing that. Minnesota makes sense, because it's like, well, it's kind of in the center of the North. You're going to bring in people from the Dakotas, even the Idahos. Right. You know, you're going to bring people over there, as well as people from the more traditional Midwestern states. That makes sense. It's central. Yeah, Indiana's just a little curious. That's all.
Got to give a shout out to Ricky St. Clair in the chat saying Pat McAfee. Can't deny that part of the whole deal. I get why Indiana wants to get in. The whole thing is hot. They are trying to invest in an infrastructure and entertainment thing. The very basic strategy a lot of cities across the world are adopting. I'm looking at it as that whole area has been pretty much served by WWE to begin with. I don't think they don't go that area at all. What's in it for them, WWE, set up shop there? If they do have like Minnesota, they do have Chicago, they do have those ones.
Well, many people have called, by many, I mean absolutely no one, have called Indiana the Las Vegas of the Midwest. So.
Oh, wow. I could totally not see that at all.
Yeah. I mean, if you take away the gambling, the entertainment.
I like how Branson, Missouri is right there. But you're saying Indiana.
I'm saying Indiana. People might say Branson. I mean, yes, you could see Yakov Smirnoff in Branson.
That is a very...
Yes, the Osmonds have a theater in Branson.
Lambert's, home of the third roles.
Okay, actually, now I'm thinking about this. Why isn't WWE going to Branson?
Oh, I would totally go to Branson.
With their average age demographic in 10 years, Branson will be the place.
Well, you know what? The grandkids have something to do, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine when Gen X takes over Branson?
It's only a matter of time.
You know, and the Smashing Pumpkins will be doing a residency, you know?
But not NWA. Yeah. Smashing Pumpkins, but not NWA is going to be in Branson.
Yes. Oh, man. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, WWE is everywhere right now. They're on fire. So
they're on fire right now.
Indiana.
Okay. Sure. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. We'll see. What else is going on?
Well, it seems that whether or not you believe inside the story or out behind the curtain, Chad Gable will be unable to compete next week in his Money in the Bank qualifying matchup. Looks like it's going to be Braun Strowman and Braun Breaker against Ilya Dragunov, the Mad Dragon, sliding in for a thank you, Chad Gable, following his assault by the Wyatt Six.
That was I like that they're treating this real. It's not even saying that extra security, like that was good. It makes it feel real that they're taking, like, they have to acknowledge it. But you know what's funny about it, though? I mean, I know they don't want to do this, but it's like in kayfabe, it looked like people legit got murdered. I think they didn't. They use the term massacre tonight.
But it was kind of fun and whimsical when they said it.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's interesting. It's interesting how they're treating this more seriously, but not super seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because it's in story on Monday nights and there's extra security, but you're telling me they're split rosters. But then why do we have Punk and Drew? It's a whole big mess. I get that. But I like the fact that Chad Gable is not going to show up next week and be like, wow, last week was a trip. Where's my match? So I get that part. I'm happy they're actually addressing that side of things.
Okay, but we need a vignette with Otis and Maxine visiting him in the hospital.
For comedy, or are you playing straight?
Both.
Fair enough.
They should do that. They should, and he comes back, should be bandaged up, and he doesn't remember. That'll be the twist. We talked about this. He doesn't remember anything. And now he's a nice guy. Now he's like your buddy, Chad Gable. He's Coach Gable.
That just reminds me of Ezekiel, Elias' younger brother. I'm okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, okay. So we'll talk more about the Wyatt Six a little later tonight.
Well, hold on. Apparently, our chat has actually outscooped us. Now, I got to give a little bit peek behind the curtain. Our producers give this show hours in advance, but it seems like Chad Gable's actually going to be at Monday Night Raw on Monday. Now, that will be a twist. I would love to see it. The chat helps us out, makes me look smart once more. Chat, you guys are real homies. Appreciate it.
And now the Wyatt Six credibility has been ruined because how vicious can they be if Chad Gable can wrestle on Monday?
I mean, let's be real, though. That one guy with his blood spot on the wall, he's dead. But Chad
Gable's looking. He's not also going to be in Money in the Bank qualifier match?
I mean, why not? Why is it triple threat matches? But Chad Gable's that much stronger, you know what I mean? He can power through things.
Shorty G.
He is Shorty G, yeah. Well, his pants were super long then. It was a weird time.
It was a weird time. What else is going on?
Well, and finally this week on my run sheet, it looks like your girl Charlotte Flair, woo, is actually getting some extensive testing on her injured knee after suffering of a torn ACL, MCL, and meniscus last year. It looks like September is still the earliest we'll have her return, but it looks like she is getting one step closer, getting stronger by the day, passing her stress test. Get this. Can you imagine Charlotte Flair being an X-Men's Mania?
Yeah. I mean, I hope she's back soon and fully recovered.
I agree.
Speaking though of injuries, we also found out Gigi Dolin is out likely through the end of the year with that knee injury.
He did tell me that. And it just, you know, I'm not going to make the whole big thing about this, if you allow me. So I was wondering why there seems to be a rise of ACL injuries in sport. And there was a YouTube video from the TIFO that covers soccer about why that is. And it's really a mixture of like body physiology and how we stress the body and just the demands of whatever sport it is that we're seeing a rise of knee injuries. It's unfortunate. One of the cool things, though, whether you think it's a good thing or a bad thing, is that now is a path to come back from one. It felt like a generation ago an ACL injury ended careers, but now
it's so back common now. Do you think they're erring on the side of caution more and diagnosing it because they don't want it to get more serious? Or do you think there's something inherent about wrestling that these spots keep happening? What I'm saying is, Flobo, if everybody wrestled in Skechers with air comfort soles, would we be able to avoid this happening in the future?
I think entire hips will pop out. Those are not made. No, I just think this is the athleticism of wrestling. I mean, 30 years ago, you could end a match with a bear hug. And now you can't do that. You got to do something crazy. Yeah. You know?
So every wrestler watches this, bring back rest spots. And do the thing that I think looks super lame where you put your hand out and you lock up with fingers.
A test of strength? Those were lame.
Yeah, it is lame. And when you see people do it still, it's like nobody, like this is a wrestling match. This is so dumb.
Shut out the burner account. Sketch that one for me, brother.
I know when I get in bar fights with people, the first thing I do is put out my hand and say, let's lock fingers.
Why are you getting in bar fights plural? Plural?
Just, what I'm is going in Vegas, on? Flobo. You know, you get bar fights here, and you lock fingers.
You just out there for a drink. It says, "Hey, are you Glenn from wrestling?"
We could take a swing at each other, but let's lock fingers and see who's the stronger man.
Too sweet.
Yeah. Those Skechers are comfortable shoes. I went to the problem is I go to the Skechers outlet, and they're like, "Buy one, get your other pair 50% off," and I end up leaving with four pairs of Skechers.
See, I'm at that weird age where I know I'm old. I'm trying to stop being old. So I know they're great, but I'm like, oh man, I have to like rewrap them in like at least a Puma or above.
Oh, you know Bubble, I bought some, they got Skechers Crocs, like Croc style shoes. I was like, oh yeah, I'm getting these. These are comfy as can be. I'm getting that. I'm getting some sandals that I'm going to wear with socks underneath them. I got some slip-ons in different colors because I've been wearing khaki shorts lately. You can't wear black shoes with khaki shorts. So I had to get some brown slip-ons and some black slip-ons.
It's yeah, no wonder you get into fights. The fashion police are like, what are you doing?
Yeah, black shoes with brown shorts. Ugh. You better be wearing a black shirt.
What about Vans if you're one of those guys who mosh pit?
I like Vans. Actually, I used to love wearing Vans. I found they weren't as comfortable. I like the Skechers has the comfort sole. It's nice. Oh. But as Alicia, oh yeah, Alicia's got it. Like, yeah, the slip-ons. So okay. Much easier. So comfortable. Yeah.
It is weird how, like, having to put on shoes, you have to stop, sit down, and tie. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've become my parents.
Yeah.
I want to get out there.
Like a sucker. I want to slip right in.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good. Could you imagine that? That would be my gimmick as a wrestler. It's like, oh, some people collect Jordans, some people, you know, really into Converse. So like, nope, I got 100 pairs of Skechers for every occasion.
That would be a sketch to see. Just someone to see some hype beast for Skechers.
Yeah, like, yo, check these out. Check out these customs.
Yo, you sleeping right now.
Yeah. They got glitter. They got the different color tongue and the insole. Yeah, it'd be dope, man.
That is a terrible idea.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about SmackDown. That's everything in the news.
Yep.
It's happening. Tonight, we had some Money in the Bank qualifiers. We had a lot going on. We opened the show with... We want CM Punk coming out to talk to the Chicago crowd and talking about costing Drew McIntyre his opportunity in Scotland. And what was crazy is...
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit. And... get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Paul Heyman came out, acknowledged CM Punk is his best friend.
Aww.
They had a really nice moment, but he needed to ask him for some favors, which was leave right now because Solo is unhappy and take me with you. That was the best part. Take me with you.
Yeah, it was great. But Punk knew what was going to happen, right? Like Punk going into Chicago and having a promo saying, I'm from Chicago, I'm tough, is like that guy in the movie being like, well, it's my last day before retirement. It's just like, dude, run. You beat this guy up in his hometown. Receipts are real, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. It was fun. CM Punk massively over in Chicago. Who'da thunk? That
I actually am surprised. Not like he wouldn't be over. I just felt like over the past 4 years that Chicago's seen a lot of him. I thought they'd been over him. So
I think it's different people at these shows versus the AEW shows.
But even still, that's the third time WWE's been in Chicago since he resigned.
I mean, it's a neat bonus. When they bought the tickets originally, they didn't know he'd be there.
Fair.
That's kind of fun. It's kind of nice when you just, you know, get that surprise.
That's kind of a dream of mine, you know, to go back to Brooklyn and have a whole Barclays or the King's Theater go nuts if I showed up.
I was going to say, you go to Brooklyn and it's like, what? The Brooklyn Brawler's here. I had no idea.
Abe Schwartz himself.
Yeah. But I love seeing CM Punk and Paul together. And I love that Paul's acknowledging like that he wants out of the bloodline.
So I get that. I'm also want Paul out because the scared Paul is kind of weird, especially if he comes out all strong like I am Paul Heyman. But, you know, that character's pretty much been a holding pattern for about 4 years now. So give him something else. I would love to see him just say, you know, solo, I can't do this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I mean, I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to quit shortly before SummerSlam, and then he's going to come back with Roman at SummerSlam.
He's my wise man, as Roman would say.
Yeah. Because Roman's not coming back, but Paul's going to go and say, you have to stop Solo. Something has to be done about Solo.
Yeah. I understand, but I don't think Solo's done anything that's been beyond the pale, right?
He's no, just, I know.
He's Rome, beat up people.
It'll be interesting. So we get the OG bloodline versus Solo's bloodline. A lot of matches can happen. It'll be good.
I like the idea, but I got to ask, because we're a bunch of nerds, is what we do. How does the old bloodline work? Do I go to Monday Night Raw and be like, okay, Jay, I know it's just you, Oos, but join us again because we need it this time. We respect
it's you. Roman, Jimmy, and Jay.
But what I'm saying, how does that even, why would he do that?
Because they say we're family. Have you not watched the Fast and Furious movie?
Yes, but family. At least the villains there have cool cars and explosions. Family. Solo's just saying, I'm the guy now. And like, no, you're not. Even Punk is like, yeah, you're a fake Oos.
And you get The Rock, and then you got 4-on-4, and then The Rock turns on Roman and sets that up for Mania. Like they can run SummerSlam to Mania easily with just Bloodline on Bloodline.
Whoa, fella. The Rock only does 2 matches a year, and it's an April. I don't know.
It'll be good, though. So I like this opening segment a lot. Solo came out and said too. He had to pay respect or get beat up, and they went to beat up CM Punk. Cody Rhodes came in with baseball bats.
He gave him like party favors. He's like, hey,
yeah. And Punk and Cody sat there with their baseball bats, not actually hitting anyone, but swinging them menacingly. But then, the setup, and then Randy and Cody challenged Solo to 1-on-1 for later night. No Randy, no Kevin, no bloodline. Backstage, Randy and Kevin were like, oh, we'll help you. But he was like, no, I have to do this online.
Okay.
Sure. You're baby face. Great. Bianca Belair versus Meechan Mia Yim versus Chelsea Green, triple threat qualifier match for the Money in the Bank. And, Bianca, yeah. Bianca didn't get this. Chelsea Green got a surprise roll up on this.
Whoa, surprise roll up? Well, surprise roll up?
I felt like Chelsea came out of nowhere to pin Meechan.
Sir.
Yes.
Sir.
Yes.
First of all, Chelsea Green is one of the most over talents
ever
in Money in the Bank. Bianca Belair is a multiple time champion. Not saying that precludes her from being a Money in the Bank winner, but I didn't see her going all the way. And Meechan would be the one I had picked going into this matchup because she's on NXT. Really? Yeah, because she's on NXT in the main roster. She's kind of in between worlds. It'd be kind of a cool thing if the briefcase goes to both brands. That was my fantasy booking. But Chelsea Green being in the match is going to want to be the draw, the comedy. And if she wins a la Carmella, it would be so annoying if she became Chelsea Green in the Bank. So yes.
Oh, no, she should win. I'm saying the surprise, she stole the win from Bianca.
I mean, she's not gonna beat anyone straight up. Let's be real. It would have to be a surprise. Even her winning the actual match in July would be a surprise.
I think she should win though. She's my pick.
Yeah.
I think she'll be the most fun. She can say a lot of things like, you know, can't have Money in the Bank without Green. Well, maybe in Canada you can. But in the US, not really.
I can see you're getting Adam Pearce's face. Like, I was going to cash in, the ref wasn't ready. That's on them.
Yeah,
they missed up my opportunity. That sort of thing.
Like, what's amazing too is Tiffany Stratton could do something similar, but Chelsea will be so extra. Like that is made for her.
Here's my hot take: that title, that briefcase, isn't for rookies. So sure. Tiffany could win it next year. But I look at Carmelo, I look at Tiffany Stratton. I love these guys, but they're not going to win.
We'll see. But I thought this was a really good match. Chelsea Green is, look, you know, any wrestler is just next level when they get to wrestle under their own name.
True.
And I think that's, you know, that should tell you right there. Jacob Fatu, even also.
John Chayna.
Yes. Randy Orton.
John Chayna. Jack Swagger.
It's not his actual name.
It's not. Mr. and Mrs. Swagger's gonna be upset.
For a second, I was like, I have to look that up. I was like, no, we know what his real name is. And then Ricky the Dragon Steamboat has an amazing real name. That's a better name than Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
See, I also feel the same about Becky Lynch. Like, Rebecca Quinn is a world title holder. Let's be real.
Well, but she's wrestling under Rebecca Knox. Like, that's also pretty cool.
Knox is try hard. Now, Rebecca Quinn.
Yeah, no, I agree. But no, I thought Chelsea did great. This was a super fun match. This was really good. And I like that backstage, Jade and Bianca are talking about getting their tag titles back.
As they should. They were never
pinned. Didn't get pinned. But yeah, this was cool.
Can I address Adonde Estas, who says,
please.
By the way, I am trying to learn that Spanish, so bear with me. Adonde Estas says, what if Triple H changes the pattern this year? Maybe this is the year of the rookies. Now, I would very much love that because the Money in the Bank is essentially King of the Ring. So by all means, give the people who are on the cusp. But it just seems I have to go by past experiences. So there'll be shockers, yeah. But as it is right now, I'm thinking those 2-3 year people like a Chelsea Green would be prime for that title.
Burner account, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's real name is Richard Blood, and I believe he went by Dick.
Ow.
For a wrestler name, though, even Richie Blood is a pretty cool name.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Anyhow. Let's talk about what came next. Backstage, Bailey talking to Blair Davenport. Do you think Blair is just still trying to wrap her mind around different parking lots everywhere they travel to, so she's lost her advantage?
I can just imagine her like having blueprints for all the arenas crossed. We talked about this on one of the wrestling shows last week, how much I love Bailey. This is perfect. Blair Davenport, somebody who couldn't buy a win in NXT. She probably will probably get stopped by Naomi, but her going right to Bailey and Bailey actually giving her the time and day and space and fear the parking lot, exquisite. I love this segment.
This was good. Then we had Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman and everyone's audio. No one could hear this. There were audio issues. But it was telling Tonga and Tama to take care of Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Drew McIntyre, though, came to SmackDown throwing CM Punk against a roll-up gate. And CM Punk was bloodied. Drew McIntyre was victorious. Yeah. It was this fake blood thing. I'm not advocating that they use real blood in these segments, but get some better fake blood.
Hot take, man.
I mean, don't you think it looked kind of comedically excessive and not real?
Yes. Because I don't believe Drew McIntyre would have got so many unmarked hits personally. So the whole thing,
the blood on his hands.
What I'm saying is, I could see CM Punk having a gash over his head, but CM Punk, well, he fell into some red paint, which even if it wasn't fake, I wouldn't believe that CM Punk would be so weak to get on the receiving end of that personally. But at the same time, you're right. There really was a color mismatch of the blood used, and it looked super bright. It looks like what they call HD blood, where they have to make a certain different color because you're are filming on HD cameras, but there's an issue on AEW about the use of blood. And my thing is, I don't necessarily care about the use of blood. At least I can buy the fact that someone got hit over the gate would be busted open. I just think that it was way, way too much.
Yeah. It was excessive.
That said, can I say something also?
Yeah, please.
If wrestling were real, if I'm Nick Aldis, I'm going to get chewed out by Adam Pearce. Like, you borrow my talent. And you get him beat up on your show. He can't work on my show Monday. What the heck is going on over there?
Yeah. they don't really treat this brand split. What was the wild card rule? Wasn't that the dumb name?
That was the Vince rule, because he's like, I just made it up.
I don't know. But no, this beatdown was good. I mean, look, their match at SummerSlam could be incredible.
Yeah.
That should headline the show. No title.
No title.
Well, we learned, you know, somebody asked if it should be a Bad Blood, like in a Cell, and CM Punk was like, don't fantasy book. You know?
He's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst idea, but they had Punk loaded into an ambulance at the end. I wish Drew would have kept attacking. I always like the ambulance spot when it's like, oh, it's not over. Now we're just throwing you out of an ambulance.
Like Springfield Gorge.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have to admit, like, when an ambulance spot continues the beatdown, or it's like, aha, Drew McIntyre's driving the ambulance.
Okay, so let me ask you this as a wrestling fan, and been a wrestling fan for a while. Corey Graves and Wade Barrett decided to, by the way, Wade Barrett was awesome for apologizing this week.
Yes.
But they went silent. Whereas I bet if it was like JR or Michael Cole, it'd be like, that asshole, get him out of here. What's he doing? Kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
Did it matter to you that they were kind of recessed or kind of quiet this time around?
No, I thought it worked, but I was expecting something else to happen. And then I like that this has been taken to a local hospital overnight.
Hmm. Which one? We can't tell you.
Can't tell you. Everybody send your cards and your flowers to every hospital in the Chicagoland area. Yeah. We're not sure which one it was. But then we had Carmelo Hayes versus Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga in a triple threat match to qualify for Money in the Bank. And what'd you think of this?
Well, when Carmelo didn't get the intro, I was like, oh man, this guy's going to be an also-ran. He's going to be one of the guys now. And the attack beforehand was interesting, but it was a good way of making KO a little bit weaker for it. And so with Carmelo getting the win, I'm like, great. I think it's a great opportunity to really enamor Carmelo Hayes to the normal fan base come Money in the Bank. But again, I had written this match off because he didn't get an intro.
Yeah, no, I know. And Tongaloa doing the distraction, which made Orton, you know, look strongish by losing. Owens appearing, like, and then Hayes doing the roll up. Like, good for Carmelo. I think this will be a good experience for him.
Can I ask a question about Alicia? I'm sorry. This chat is hot tonight.
Okay.
She goes, yes. I assume they says, yes, no more local medical facility. And I know that they've been saying that for as long as I've been watching wrestling. Oh, they've been taken to a local medical facility, but the disdain for that phrase, I don't quite understand. Why does that tick so many people off? Like, it was always assumed that a medical, they're not going to a pet doctor. Like, it's a big, I don't know.
It just always sounded very, just weird terminology, you know?
Fair enough.
That's all. Not natural. Not what anyone ever says. You know, no one's ever like, oh, my grandfather, you know, had a heart attack. Where is he? A local medical facility.
Yeah.
That's like, man, how bad is your insurance? They wouldn't put him in a hospital.
Fair.
Yeah. He's at an urgent care center.
Yeah.
They said he's good. Just, you know, avoid spicy foods.
Fair. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's really bad insurance. Get an answer. Really bad insurance.
Thanks, Chad and Glenn.
Yeah. Just take an aspirin if it happens again. Chew it slowly. But the Wyatts hijacked the feed to show a recap of their debut. So it's the Wyatt 6, not the Wyatt 6-6. People have just been spelling it with the sick and the 6, but it's supposed to be the Wyatt 6?
Yes.
Like S-I-C-K-S. Because they're sick in the head. Get it?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe so.
Fair enough.
LA Knight was there calling out Logan Paul, who was not there until he was there, and he like sneak attacked him.
So I like this. I think LA Knight still has a good response from the crowd, and I really wanted that matchup. But I think it would have behooved LA Knight's momentum if he had a legitimate match this week. After going to Puerto Rico last week and after being backstage the week before, it was kind of like, man, it just feels like this is being stretched more than it needs to be. So So I would have loved LA Knight doing a match and then doing the whole call out thing afterwards. But hey, what we got was great. I got to say LA Knight URL from my couch. So.
When they're dragging this out to SummerSlam, this isn't Money in the Bank in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. But at the same time, is you're getting weekly updates for a match that's going to be, what, 6 weeks away? 7 weeks away?
Yeah. We'll see. But this match next was Kevin Owens got attacked by the Bloodline before this, but it was Andrade versus Grayson Waller versus Kevin Owens in a triple threat. Owens still competed, which I respected. But yeah. I did not think Andrade was going to get the win here.
Why is that?
I thought Grayson Waller was going to get it.
Why is that?
Because Grayson Waller with the briefcase, great, would be annoying, obnoxious, and fun.
Fair. Also, the whole DIY thing was a red herring, right? He's going to get better than you. He's trying to get individual achievements. I get that. But Andrade's going to win the Money in the Bank match. I'm telling you that right now. The whole field isn't even picked yet. You could have Prime Undertaker, Lawrence Taylor from WrestleMania 10. Andrade's going to win it because he's going to carry that briefcase around. You can't ignore him for months. He's going to be the guy with the briefcase. He'd be the second senor with the bank.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't 2 years in a row, dude.
Why not there, Glenn? Explain yourself. Huh?
He's got to find a way to make it different.
He's going to get it. Charlotte's coming back in the next year. I'm seeing it happen, man.
Okay.
Because he's a guy that doesn't have anywhere to go creatively. You brought him back. He's a high-profile signing. He's a veteran. He's never had any titles above the United States Championship. That's a guy, by blueprint definition, who'll be ready for the world title scene. I'm going with Andrade. That's my call right now.
Okay. Not Carmelo.
No. Again, typically, rookies don't win that.
Okay. Sure.
Eat alone.
Will we say eat alone or De Niro and El Banco?
De Niro and El Banco. I like
that's the translation.
I mean, it's legit, it just sounds like you're like so enthused. De Niro, yeah, this is why and El Banco.
I'm Spanish. I don't do the on Duolingo. I don't do the talking things because I refuse to adopt an accent.
It's not even that. You just seem bored with it already. De Niro and El Banco.
Because to do Senor again was a little too on the nose, you know?
Right. You can't do Senor again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Jey Uso does not need the Money in the Bank. He doesn't. Yeet. He's already hot as it is. He can pretty much be slotted at any point in time in a title match. And he's been in a title match before. Yeet.
So, backstage Meechan, Tiffany Strand got into it, and Nia Jax attacked Meechan on Tiffany's behalf.
Wow. Pretty girl's mean.
Yeah. And then we had the main event. We had Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa with Paul Heyman. And of course, wouldn't you know it, the Bloodline caused a disqualification by Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa, sliding in the ring and attacking Rhodes. And then when Orton and Owens came out to even the score, Jacob Fatu appeared, the Samoan werewolf. And, wonder if he's going to join Los Lobos Locos.
Imagine Fatu grabs the microphone and goes, "Final Testament." I did that last week because someone says I obsess about them. No, the match is great. I love the tease of we're going to go as long as it takes. And it just instantly ends the disqualification like 30 seconds later. Like,
and the show ended early. The show ended like 3 minutes early.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it, man. It's totally fine. I like the idea of the debut. For those casual fans that are going to figure out who that is, hardcore fans get that last little pop. I get to do my weekly Final Testament reference because that one random guy say obsessed about them all the time. Everybody wins here.
So when you go to a wrestling show next, you need to bring some Final Testament signs.
Oh, yeah. I'll be like, hey, man, what's that? It's that weird true false symbol where it's like the cross.
It's with the cross with an extra.
Oh, I'd be the coolest guy there. Paul Ellering equals ratings.
There you go. Jacob Fatu, that splash was awesome, hitting Cody on the table. He looks great. That dude, I've seen him wrestle on the indies. He is hard hitting. Like, he tackles you like a lineman. Like, he just takes people out. Him doing spears and shoulder tackles, like, I think he could be brutal in WWE if they really just let him go.
Yeah, you don't have to do too much on debut. Look, I love it. Full stop. I'm not here to like nitpick, but it's a podcast, so I have to. The only person I think now is going to have a bit of a adjustment period now is Tonga Loa, because I felt like he was the second guy. Now he's definitely not the third guy now that Jacob Fatu is back as far as character development. You know, Tama Tonga's having matches. Jacob Fatu is a bulldozer with respect to Umaga. But Tonga Loa needs to do something different to make him stick out, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. Take I'm excited. I thought this was great. I like that he was standing tall at the end, and it was weird seeing all four of them doing the We the Ones. Yeah. Tama Tonga and Tonga seemed a little reluctant to do it. It was so cool.
New Bloodline, baby.
Bloodline Next Generation.
Bloodline 2.0.
Baby Bloodline.
Bloodline's way. Bloodline After Dark. I don't know.
Like Baywatch After Dark.
Oh, do that. Baywatch Nights.
Werewolves.
Oh, man. Baywatch Nights. That is definitely a thing that only like deep cut syndication fans watch right after Nightman Saturday afternoons.
And they had werewolves on Baywatch Nights.
They did.
You know what?
After the sun goes down.
Okay. That was my only note on the Baywatch movie. I thought the Baywatch movie, I don't understand why that was not a hit. It was funny. It was good, but there was no Baywatch Nights reference.
Because it was like non-canon.
But like, wasn't it canon at the time when it launched? It was.
So if allow me to nerd out here. Okay, the first season, Baywatch Night was a strict cop show. And that was canon. It was the beach was closed and Mitch Buchanan's going to be doing this when the beach was closed and do this whole thing. In the second season, when they retooled it and it became the X-Files clone because the X-Files were hot, they never mentioned that on the regular Baywatch again. So the second season is non-canon, but that's what we recognize the second season as, is being Baywatch Nights.
Didn't they make a joke on the main Baywatch, though, to Hasselhoff, where it was like, oh, it's not chasing werewolves. Like they made a joke after it got canceled.
Well, that's different. After your cancer, like after you've gone and been buried, and someone goes to your funeral and be like, huh, what a guy.
Yeah,
well, that theme song hit hard, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I thought the whole thing was canon.
Well, I guess if the first season's canon, then yeah. But the second season was so different than the first. I feel like two different shows.
Now, my favorite on Baywatch was anytime a shark was involved.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't watch a ton of episodes, but the one that I seem to have seen...
You didn't.
Now, the one that I saw like 10 times was the one when the Brinks truck is in the ocean and it's filling up with water and the people are stuck in the Brinks truck.
That's a good one.
I've seen that one 10 times.
The one that gets me is the Portuguese Man of War episode when it's like this huge thing in the water, but all the tentacles are like in the water. Everyone gets caught in it. I'm like, I'm being stung. It was a whole big thing, you know?
Baywatch movie with The Rock, though, I legitimately thought in the spirit of 21 Jump Street, that was fun.
You know what? Now I look back on The Rock's career, we should have known the cracks, man. The hubris to say, I'm going to bring back Baywatch. And we let him do it.
As a vulgar comedy.
And we let him do it.
It was on cable last month. Last month they were showing it a lot. I was like, you know what? It's on Paramount Plus. I was like, I'm finally going to watch this. And I was not disappointed.
You were not disappointed.
No, aside from the lack of a Baywatch Nights reference.
Baywatch Nights is definitely one of those things that only people who were there would recognize it.
Yes. But legendary spinoff. But tonight, this was... I'm glad Jacob Fatu has joined the Bloodline.
Why is that?
Because they needed this desperately.
Did they need it desperately? Has it changed anything?
I actually think... he should wrestle Control away from Solo Sikoa.
Who's in the chat? You're absolutely right.
I know. What's up?
You're absolutely right. I like the fact they'll have that conflict. I like the fact that down the line, Jacob Fatu is great. But the problems I have with New Bloodline aren't different now. It's still Solo cosplaying. It's him distancing himself from Roman. It's all these things. But now you're adding new characters to a franchise that's already flawed. You know?
But I'm telling you, man, Jacob is, his physicality is different. His attitude is different. Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa didn't have a chance to establish their characters. And I like that Jacob is a very different type of wrestler than other members of the Bloodline. I think it's going to be a lot of really good energy.
You're absolutely right. I think wrestling enthusiasts wrestling hardcore fans are going to love Jacob Fatu. I think wrestling fans will say that we need Jacob Fatu, but it's not about that. You're on SmackDown, which is still the biggest show on the roster. People watching the shows casually. How do you make this version, this bruiser who's fast and strong and powerful, different to to mom and pops in Indiana than Bronson Reed, Braun Strowman, and the like. And that's the problem I'm having, because you're telling me it's a bloodline, but you haven't told me why this bloodline is different. When you add people, no matter how good they are, you go, why is he with him? Why is he not with him? What's his deal, bro?
Yeah. Solo needs to have a mission statement.
Agreed.
You know? And it can't just be the same as Roman's. It can't be acknowledge me. I'm the best, like, greatest of all time. Like, Roman had his thing. Solo needs to state what he's trying to do.
I agree with you short term. And I feel like 6 years ago, this could have been addressed because we never saw what the tribal chief actually did. So there's not another way to spin that off. But at the very core of it, Roman was a guy that cared for his family to the point where he would manipulate his own family to say, you need me to help you. Okay. Yeah. You're the enforcer, Solo. Now you're the head guy. How are you going to lead by, besides wearing a pair of gloves in the middle of the summer? Let me know. Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. I'm excited tonight. I started the show just bored of what has happened with the bloodline. Without Roman, it has not been the same. It has not been as good. It's none of the original. If you started watching a season of Baywatch and it was all just like third tier cast that was left, no Hasselhoff, no Pamela, mm-hmm. no what's her face,
pick a show like Carmen Electra, Yasmin Bleeth, Tracy Bingham.
Yeah, no Yasmin Bleeth. Yeah, yeah, I'm just saying, like, you'd be like, yo, this is like real. I have compared this before. It's like you're watching Happy Days and it's like Chachi, Ralph Mouth, and Potsy, and you're like, where's Richie, where's Fonzie,
yeah,
where's Ted McGinley, like, this is all the B team.
You're right. But there was a small window. This B team could have been fun.
Yeah.
If it really was a civil war from the get-go, if it was Solo and Jimmy saying, hey, Roman's off, who are we going to do? And they fought for a month, and then Solo won, I think you could have a chance for audience to pick their
but
side and
soon.
Go with this.
It wasn't too soon.
Because now we're like, what does Solo want? We don't know what he wants.
I know. But Jacob, I think, is going to change it up and make it fun.
I hope you're right.
How are the Final Testament and Judgment Day and any other, like, kind of, you know, badass, creepy faction going to exist with the Wyatt Six?
I was thinking about that, and I think, wisely, the Final Testament of the last 2 weeks for the New Day storyline has leaned into more, like, psychological, like, logically trying to convince people otherwise. So they're not as spooky as they were. I think that's a masterclass to keep them relevant. They're a bunch of guys who manipulate you with their words as opposed to their actions and supernatural stuff. Stay in that lane, because for Wyatt Six to work, they need a wide, wide berth of story, character interactions. Get out of their way. Let them do their thing. You can't compete with the spirit of Bray Wyatt and his family.
Okay. There you go. So that was SmackDown tonight.
It was.
Thank you, everyone, tuning out. NXT popped a huge rating on Tuesday.
I saw that. Correct. Yeah. Joe Hendry effect, right?
Yeah, Joe Hendry. Isn't that amazing that AEW New Japan produced some great matches? This Forbidden Door idea people weren't enamored with. And all NXT had to say is like, oh yeah, some TNA people are going to show up. And they're doing like phenomenal ratings.
Yeah. The thing about wrestling, doesn't matter what letters are on the marquee. I always say this on the show, so forgive me if I repeat myself. It's character first, wrestling second, storyline third. So I haven't really seen a full Joe Hendry match since WrestleMania weekend or that time period. But the fact you're saying Joe Hendry is going to be on NXT, I made sure to see that show live.
I just want to point this out. Since Stevie Turner has been back on NXT, ratings have been on the upswing.
Stevie Turner, let's go! Four-dimensional.
Yes. Okay, there you have it, everyone. Have a great weekend. Flobo's at Flobo Boys. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.